Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good day, good middle of the night, good week, good month, good year. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, here with another episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I consider lesser values than love having the potential of BS, which is a lot of things, but in my, for the purposes of my definition, it is bait and switch. So if we live less than love, we're in the territory of baiting and switching, and I am not on this earth to bait and switch. So thanks for joining me. I enjoy bringing this to you week in and week out, and I treat this as a trust. If you're going to give me a half an hour of your life, I'm going to give you the very best I can to give you tools, to give you a toolbox and tools to put in that toolbox to be a better lover, to be a lover of all humankind, to be a lover of yourself, a lover of God, a lover of your neighbor, a lover of your enemy, to find ways in this world to be on a growth curve in love that is specific and custom built for you, but it's also a part of the human condition to be alive to love. So we do a few things here every time I come to you on the No BS Bishop. I give and have written something that I put together called Love's Creed. Love's Creed came to me really originally about 10 years ago as a New Year's resolution for how I wanted to live my life in that year coming up. And it was so specific to the message that was burning in my heart about love that I refined it a bit, did some editing, and I come to this it's about a paragraph long of a creed that I call Love's Creed. So I'm going to read it to you in total, come back to it, and I want you to pretend you're at a marriage altar, perhaps, and that I'm giving you vows, and I'll say, repeat after me. So listen to it in total. Try to soak in some of the meaning here in a specific way, all right? So here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. So there you have it. I wonder sometimes if I need to edit again. I kind of had a little bit of a sudden moment of flow of consciousness when I was reading that and came up with a phrase, but I thought, nope. Stay with the script that you have very well written and articulated for today. I'll come back maybe next week with a little bit of an edit to that. But here we go. I want you to imagine yourself at a marriage altar. And I'm the officiant, the minister, and I'm going to give you vows to repeat after me. All right? Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Well, there you have it. If you'd like a copy of this, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's all lowercase letters. Randy Dean Ministries is one word at Gmail. Be happy to send you a copy. And if you have questions for me, I'd be happy to entertain those as well. But let me jump right into the subject that's burning in my mind and heart for today. I woke up a little earlier than I intended to this morning with a topic that's on a subject that I'm working forward to bringing and presenting to a retreat that I'll be doing here in a few months. But I've been asked to talk about communication. I mean, really, that's such a specific art, but it's also specific to me for all of my life on some level. Communication, to talk about and unpack the whole purposes of communication. Now, for the purpose of this venue, I want to talk to you about the communication of love, or maybe we could say it, the effective communication of love. Love is, it's nothing if it isn't communicated. And I don't mean just with words. I mean in by all means that are available to us. So here, let me just share with you what communication is, first of all. Communication is the means by which we come to know each other. That we communicate with words. We communicate with every eye glance or eye roll. You know what I mean, right? If you're fussy with somebody and you roll your eyes, that's a communication. Every hand gesture. Here, I'm in a studio alone and I'm talking into a microphone. There's only one thing looking back at me, and that's the computer. And I'm gesturing with my hands. I can't talk without my hands being involved. So every hand gesture is a communication. Every body movement. Some years ago, a book was written called Body Language. And reading body language, which is a lot tricky, but body language communicates how we fold our arms or cross our legs or turn our head away. I'll talk more about that in a minute. And communication is, that thing called words. How we speak, how words come across. And today, I feel it's important to add love to this very important subject of communication. Communication is happening more and more at the speed of light all over the world. We're communicating by social media. We're communicating by 24/7 news cycles. It used to be, back in the day, as I was growing up, the news came through once, maybe twice in a day. Well, it's a never-ending stream of the news cycle now. And that's both good and it's bad. My point here is that communication is happening today in the 21st century in such a pace, at such a pace, and in such a volume that if we're not careful, and I might add, most of us, myself included, are not always careful. We're always on the receiving end of communication. And we're also under demand to communicate routinely by other means. But there's no more important piece of what communication is about in the human experience than the communication of love. So let me unpack that with you for a few moments here. The communication of love, or the communication of the lack of love, both of those are they're the same coin, flip side, heads or tails. When I came into my calling as a pastor, preacher, I was in the tender age of high school, just kind of coming into an awareness that must be what I'm called to do. I'd heard it off and on through my life, but I really did. I can honestly say I heard God on a level that it's impossible for me to adequately describe here. But I know I heard God calling me to preach. I had a call to preach. And I knew right away, I was not a really gregarious guy in my high school years. In fact, I know people would find it hard to believe now, but I was very introverted. In fact, I still am introverted in certain levels. But in my introverted personality, when I heard this call to preach and I started looking at preachers around me, it was really, I was terrified, just to be completely honest. It terrified me because I couldn't unknow this divine communication that had come to me about being called. So here I was looking at preachers, ministers, priests, and they were speaking so eloquently and some just average, but they were up in front of a few hundred people. The church that I was going to in high school was 500, 600, 700 people. It was a big place. And I just remember feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm called to do that. Well, I guess I'll do it. And I did, but just imagining it was terrifying. So fast forward a little bit, I go into college, my Bible college years, and this is in the early 70s, and I just had this notion right away that I'm going to just immerse myself. I threw myself at any local church that would need a youth pastor or somebody to just step in and help on any level. And so I did. Went to a fine church in Athens, Texas. My wife's listening with me right now, and she's looking at me, I'm sure, with those knowing eyes. Athens, Texas. And I was trusted repeatedly, really, with being the speaker on Sunday mornings, and we had Sunday night services. Wednesday nights, I was occupied with the youth. So one Sunday morning, and it was a full house, I was asked to preach. And I'm just going to tell you straightforward, I was terrified. And this was not a large church, but it was a pretty medium-sized church. It was a few hundred people or more. And so I'm up to preach my sermon, and I had a notebook in front of me. In those days, I carried very specific notes, word for word for word, not just a bare bones outline, but I carried a notebook with me with every word that I was hoping to speak. I got up there and I screwed up my courage and got up there to preach my Sunday morning message. And I looked out to my right, and there was a woman sitting, about 6-8 rows beyond the altar area. She had her arms folded, crossed over her chest. Yeah, it's body language, right? And she looked like she was intentionally going to barricade her heart from hearing me. And her face followed that same kind of barricade vision. Her face was dark and frowning, and her arms were crossed tight across her heart. And as I began to speak and I gave my introduction and my opening scripture, her head started shaking no. Not just a little, not just slightly or gently. Her head was going back and forth, east and west, rapidly and widely, while her arms were tightly wrapped around her chest. And here I was, this tender age of 19, well, maybe 20 at the time, and I'm looking out at this lady who is making sure she's communicating to me. She's communicating, I'm not listening to you, boy. And so that 30 minutes or whatever it was of preaching was as hard as chiseling rock. It was hard. I didn't have anybody else doing that in that crowd of 200 people, just that one lady. But that one lady's rejection of me before I hardly spoke a word was all-consuming. It just magnetized me, and something in my mind said, I have to win her over. I have to say something that she'll shake her head yes to. Now, I'm giving you an illustration. That's communication. She didn't speak a word to me, but her body was communicating. She didn't speak to me after that service post-service for the next few years. She never said anything to me about why she was so clearly rejecting anything I had to say. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, that extreme example is what I am concerned we are communicating to a world around us about love. If we are not intentionally on the other side of that lady's spectrum, smiling, shaking our head yes, making eye contact, giving people an open hello with our, maybe our hands are stretched out. You know, again, I said I'm hand gesturing while I'm speaking to an empty room. My hands are out. So when we see people and we throw our arms open as if we're going to hug them in the moment, that's another side of this communication. And the communication of love really is puts a demand on that kind of approach. You know, if you've been here before, I'll close this time by challenging you to startle yourself and startle others by getting eye contact and saying the three most holy, magical, charmed words in the human language. And those three words are, I love you. Now, let me roll back a minute. I'm not closing right now. I'm just giving you fair warning. To communicate love is in the arena of making sure our words verbally, our face is saying it, our eyes are saying it, our body language is offering it, that on some level we're, and I don't mean everybody we see, we throw our arms open, we wouldn't be doing anything else with the rest of our day if all we ever did was just that. But my point here is to add an awareness of our communication that is the means by which we come to know each other, and in this specific case, to come to know each other as people of love. So love really puts this demand on me to think through how I say I love you, to think through how my body language is offering I love you, how every hand gesture is saying I love you. As a male young boy growing up, my dad always talked about having a firm handshake. He said, don't just put your hand out there like a dead fish and put it in somebody's hand. He said, give them a firm handshake. So for me, I'm adding that to this equation of the communication of love. A firm handshake with a smile and eye contact sets the stage for connection with another human being. Whether the connection is a formal connection, perhaps it's a legal matter. Perhaps you're buying a house. Perhaps you're meeting in a real estate office or a legal place, a lawyer's office to sign papers for buying a home or buying property. Whatever it may be, the communication of love comes through almost every action that we have. Every footstep, every head nod. And I'm involved in a recovery group called Spiritual Program Retreat, and I know that we have to have boundaries. We have to be able to say no on some occasions. Because when I say no to somebody about their illicit needs for borrowing money, when I know they're abusing their own finances in the disease of addiction and alcohol, when I say no, when somebody's lying and they're trying to cause harm to someone else, and I have to say, I'm sorry, no. Even my no can be drenched in love. I want you to hear me very carefully here. I'm very purposefully asking you to consider how you communicate love. I don't have time here, and maybe I should do part two next week, but when we communicate love, we're communicating this all-important human quality, aren't we? We're alive to love. We're not on this earth for hate. We're alive for love. And if that's the case, and I believe it is, then communicating it becomes essential to improving the lot of our culture, the environment of our neighborhood, the environment of our churches, the environment of our homes, the environment of our friendship circles. To communicate it adequately, consistently, to communicate it in ways that identify my seriousness, not just being glib about this. I'm not suggesting that we're just glad-handing people. You know what that is, right? It's not meaning it when I'm just grabbing a hand and shaking and making eye contact. It's intentionally slowing down my actions, making eye contact, shaking a hand, or giving a hug that's fully engaged in what I'm doing and doing it with a purpose to communicate love, to communicate love. We all know when you see a mother and her child, oh, there's no substitute for the vision of the gaze of a mom's eyes into that little baby's eyes. And there sure is no way to replicate or try to imitate how a baby looks back at their mama. Artists do as much as they can, and some paintings, some portraits, some photos, some sculptures do a pretty good job. But the communication of love from the eyes of a mother to a child is what I hope you can see with me while I'm talking. Now, not everybody is a mother, and not everybody's a child in a mother's arms, but we are all human beings on this journey of life, and this journey of life is serving up a fair amount of pain. It's serving up more than its fair share of pain and confusion and consternation and hatred. And so it is incumbent, I believe, that those of us who are out to embrace love, as I am, that we be people with a full commitment to the idea of being better communicators of our love. You've heard me say this here before, and I mean it with all my heart. I hope, I can't guarantee it, but I sure hope that my last words in this life, before I walk on to the next, I hope my last words in this life are those most holy, treasured, magical, charmed words in the human language. I hope those words are, whoever's there, I love you. So let's go into the landing of this particular broadcast with the two practices that I offer you every week. And one is breathing well. I do have a commitment to the idea that good breathing leads to just good, basic, healthy living. When we're short-breathed, it's out of stress or anger or fear. But if we can control our breaths, when we control them and slow them down, we can ease the tension of stress. We can ease the tension of fear. We can ease the pain that we may be in physically with good, intentional breathing. So on the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. Set up as straight as you can. Put your feet flat on the floor if it's possible. And breathe all the way down into the basement of your lungs. Push down against your diaphragm. Hold that breath for just a few seconds. All right? One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. I'm convinced that simple exercise helps your mind to be arrested in a peaceful serenity. I am convinced that that kind of breathing on occasion throughout your day will help lower your blood pressure, help slow your thoughts down, and give you the chance to be, yep, you heard me, to be a lover. You heard me coming with that, I hope. So the second practice that we do here every week on the No BS Bishop is to say to somebody, startling, yes, a little weird, yes, but give yourself the opportunity to slow down those three words and say them with eye contact. I love you. It's frankly weird for some of us, and it's been weird for me more so in other times than some places. You know, I wish I could go back to that lady in Athens, Texas, find her if she's still alive, and find some way with her in a quiet moment to say, hey, I love you. Just in response to her, whatever pain she was in as she rejected me. So do it, please. Find somebody and say, I love you. Imagine me right now looking at you through the radio. I know, that's really weird. but looking at you right in the eye and saying these three holy words, I love you. Well, there you have it. Today I talked about the communication of love. I think I'm going to make this a part two for next weekend. How about that? All right? Everybody shake your head yes if you agree. All right, I got to go. Now go out and do something beautiful in this pain-filled and too often ugly world. Ugly is getting done to death, but those of us who are committed to love are also committed to doing something beautiful, helping your neighbor, loving your friends, and making sure that beauty has its say in our day. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.